Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Mind power, brain power. Do you sometimes think that you're getting a little mucky up in the gray cell department? Well, if Hercule Poirot can make it with the fish fixing the gray cells, we're going to have some even better remedies for you today. My guest is Sandra Kornblatt, and her book is A Better Brain at Any Age. Hi, Sandra. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Hello.
I am so delighted. Well, you're a Northwesterner. I am, too. And it's so delighted that I've got someone on the air that is sharing this gray, drippy winter day that we've got here. And that we have a chance to talk about something that's going to be invigorating, and that's our brains. I would like people to know that you have been involved with this kind of study and research for a while, and you can tell us how you got involved in a minute. But you're a health and science writer,
That's right.
It has become a very significant part of your life. This book came after a program that you developed called Restful Insomnia. And people can find out about that later. And obviously you live up here with your husband and your kids. What turned you on to this? Did you have some personal experiences? Was there some great aha moment that made you decide you were going to research the brain?
Well, you know, everybody has a great experience with the brain because that's what allows us to have great experiences in life. So many of the things that I was doing in terms of emotional and spiritual and physical renewal, I got to get a sense that, you know, it, especially with the new research that's coming out, that has come out about the brain, just to be able to look at it and look at bringing some of those pieces together in a way that's accessible for people to, what I'm talking about, you know, loving your brain, having a great relationship with the wonderful cells that are underneath your skull.
I think it is phenomenal, the time frame that we're living in, because it wasn't all that long ago, and I still hear this said by people, of course I know differently, but if someone is ill, if they have a stroke, if there's something that's gone wrong, they say, well, this person's going to be a vegetable for the rest of their life. And I have known of a number of situations because of certain physical exercises that were done with the eyes, moving the body. These people regained their capacities in phenomenal ways. And that forced some people to change their thinking. But we're still having to disrupt the, what I would call the expected, anticipated patternings instead of looking at really what's there. I know of a woman that was in an accident. Her brain was totally squashed. It was totally shoved to one side of the skull. And her life, I mean, it was just amazing what she was able to do, but what the body had to go through and how she had to have therapy and everything else. They didn't believe she'd even function mentally.
Yeah.
And she's
so
just as sassy as she was.
Yeah. The brain is pretty amazing. My grandmother had a stroke in 72 and basically never recovered, and my dad had a stroke 5 years ago and is doing pretty good. So, you know, and a lot of it is just knowing that the brain keeps putting out neurons, neurogenesis. Some of it is the science that they've done in terms of functional MRIs and seeing inside and seeing how the brain works versus making our best guess about what might be happening under there.
And the technology has just been wonderful.
Yep. And then seeing people respond, you know, just like your friend did.
Right.
And people also finding their own ways. I talked to a woman who was in a car accident, and even though people didn't believe her, oftentimes a reaction to whiplash is brain trauma. And her cognitive abilities went down. And what she did was she started to look at using numbers, just adding up the numbers on the license plate, or you know, just playing with gremlins, I mean not gremlins, but playing with a fairy tales and thinking about numbers, and also using her senses. And mm-hmm. she really did bring her brain back by stimulating it in a way that made sense to who she was.
Right, and I think that the use of computer games has helped a great deal. There is a physician, Fernando Vega, that is in Seattle, and he wrote the foreword to your book, and he was very supportive of what you were doing because he said that he had one woman, her name was Annalise, she thought she was getting Alzheimer's, and he said, no, it wasn't that at all, but she wasn't getting enough sleep, and so her brain was just fizzling, she just wasn't working well, but he went over with her about supplementation and other things, and it turned her around. And I think that so often, culturally, we have this attitude, oh, well, gee whiz, once you're past 30, then that's it, you go downhill from there. And fortunately, because of the technology you've mentioned and things like your book that make us aware, we can be more active with
oh, yeah.
ourselves. We can do something. Let's go into a little bit. Your very first part of your book, your introduction, is Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. How did you go about doing the research on this? What avenues did you go into and explore?
Well, you know, I am a proponent of alternative medicine, but I'm also a proponent of traditional medicine. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I know is that in alternative medicine, you can hear great stories that may be true for a few people, but not for everybody, or might not be healthy, or even, you know, the new research about vitamin C or vitamin E, you know, it comes and goes. So it was really important to me to make sure that the material in the book had good scientific basis to it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the internet and lots of reading and lots of, I read lots of books on the brain and pulled the pieces that I thought were the best and the most exciting to use and the most powerful things. But just, you know, again, making sure that it was holistic but also had some good scientific background to it.
And I think that's a wonderful approach because that way then you can communicate effectively with people. And we're both right brain. Everybody's right brain, left brain. But we
right.
typically will use as illustration the left brain for the total logical and the right brain for the intuitive. So well, there are some people that you do have to have a scientific explanation. Otherwise, it's like, I'm sorry, but you've lost me. You're out in woo-woo land. Whereas with other people, having a different flow of description is going to be very suitable for them because they can feel it or
right.
they can connect with it. So you've done both of those factors and many more in your book. You've used the term boosters, and I like that. That's a good term. Why did you choose that as a way to motivate people to get into the book?
Well, you know, boosting your brain is pretty much what you need to do all the time, and I think the piece is that we have to take our brain for granted because you can't think about the brain as you're driving the car. You have to think about the cars in front of you. So when we want our brains to respond to us better, we need to do things like do something different. Brush your teeth with your left hand if you're right-handed, or take a different route home, or stimulate the brain. And the other side of it is also relax and enjoy what the brain is, and enjoy how it perceives the world. But a booster gives you a sense of making a change and making a difference, and you can really get a sense of your brain engaging in a new way and feel those neurons snapping and talking to each other.
I feel that if we were around children and watched how excited they got about learning something new,
yes,
we would do the same thing.
Yes, yes. I think we do get excited.
Well, some people
do,
but a lot of people get afraid because they've been so indoctrinated that they really shouldn't tread new territory as they mature. And that's a sad thing because that's important that you do.
I talk a lot about the feeling of feeling stupid and that... Yeah, you know, I taught younger kids, and we talked about languages, and I mentioned the fact that when you learn a new language, you're going to feel stupid. That's the way you learn a new language, because you have to go out and take a risk. Mm-hmm. And lots of times that sense, that belief, that identity that we can't learn is really one of the biggest brain drags, I'd say. And I mentioned how many ways there are to learn, not only Gardner's seven intelligences, which talk about natural intelligence and visual intelligence and, you know, those the computer whizzes, those that kind of intelligence. But I also talk about the fact that people learn, some people are auditory. They learn from hearing and reading and thinking, and some people are visual, and some people are kinesthetic. They have to move or feel it. And oftentimes if somebody got off track, someone said, oh, this is the way you need to learn this, and they didn't, they ignore their own resources and their own smarts that they have inside their brain that they can expand upon to have their brain work even better.
So true. And what I think is sad is, and I guess everybody goes through this, we'll be around certain environments and people will label us and we think we don't fit. Well, maybe we're in the wrong environment. It's
right.
Like if you're really artistic, being around a bunch of mechanics isn't especially going to be exciting to you nor stimulating. Whereas if you got into a design class, you might just think, wahoo, I'm right on the planet I'm supposed to be on.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things we can get into. You had a story about a young man, Michael,
mm-hmm.
who couldn't do anything. Share that story. That was just wonderful.
Well, Michael's a great friend, and he would send me letters, and he'd say, I'm going somewhere, but he would spell I'm, I'M E. He couldn't even spell that simple contraction. He couldn't, if you gave him something to multiply by, his eyes would get really big and he'd go, hey, you figure it out. And he really thought that, you know, he was stupid. He had been, you know, the nuns were not very nice to him, hitting his wrist with a ruler, and his dad would whack him on the head when he didn't get his math problems or spelling right. So there's a lot of things he didn't do. He didn't think he could be a nurse. He didn't think that he could go to college. But over time, he started to see his gifts. He's an amazing decorator. He can come in and move your furniture to the exact right spot. He learned to do psychic readings, which you just really get a sense of groundedness when he does that. And he ended up going back to massage school and acing all the classes, including business analysis and anatomy. And part of it was he found that path. He kind of knew inside that there was some piece of him that was smart, and you know, he was a great reader. And as he started reading, he started to realize that, you know, he could find his way of doing some of the things he was told he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he did it with an amazing heart and an amazing amount of love, which people don't count oftentimes as intelligence, but I really think it changes your relationship to what you know and how you're in the world.
I really like the paragraph at the end of the page about Michael's story, and I'll quote it. If you feel dumb, uncreative, or incapable of two hard tasks, dancing, math, drawing, writing, you may distort your true ability to learn. Your hidden brilliance is still there, even if you didn't break 900 on your stat scores. Discover how to strengthen your brain by tapping into your multiple intelligences, learning processes, and creativity.
Yep.
Let's go into multiple intelligence. That sounds something like we would talk about from UFOs. But we're talking about right here on Terra Firma. We all have multiple intelligences. And I just think that's so exciting. I'm so aware of that, and I just delight in seeing it in other people and bringing it out. Tell us what that is.
Well, Dr. Howard Gardner started to look at the idea that there was many levels of intelligence, not just what you do in school in terms of doing your math right and doing your IQ test. He started to look at the place that people have different ways of relating to the world. Some people are very good interpersonally. You know, the people who sit, well, you probably are, who are good at talking
mm-hmm.
to people, and you really understand where people are, and that's a place that you naturally have intelligence. And other people are great with nature, you know, the green thumb people. They understand how, you know, nature works in animals, and, you know, it's not just their milieu, it's the place that, you know, their intelligence really comes out. The interesting piece is that you can use what you're good at to expand the areas that your brain may not take to so naturally. So someone who's really good at nature might really be able to figure out math and rows, math and multiplication table by figuring out how many plants they need to plant in a certain number of rows, whereas the numbers in the book don't really do anything. But there's some computer people, my husband's one of them, who, you know, just love numbers and get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's interesting because Dr. Gardner looked at your brain mechanism. He didn't just come up with these ideas and say, there it is. He looked for a specific brain function that resonated when people did certain types of tasks. And he looked into spiritual intelligence and decided that was not, when I did the research, that that was not an intelligence. But I have a sense that because your whole brain is active when you're doing, having a sense that there's something bigger than you are, that there may not be a specific brain function. It may be a whole brain function. But I personally believe that that's another type of intelligence that people have.
Well, I would agree with that, and I'll tell you why. When you go back into history and you look at those people that we would describe as creative geniuses, there is often that stimulus between their spiritual positioning and their creativity. And there is that connection. I think of Beethoven, that he would go out and sit in nature, and though he was deaf, he was hearing music. No one else could hear it the way he resonated with it. And that, to him, was an expression of his belief, and it just was something he could no more separate himself from than a man in the moon. So I agree with your statement. I think it's there. And I think dependent, it doesn't make any difference what a person's cultural background is or anything else. When they resonate with that, whatever that spiritual function would be within them, it is something that has a phenomenal impact. Mm-hmm. And I've just dealt with so many people through the years that many times it has created those aha moments.
Yeah.
And when they happen, it envelops the whole part of themselves. So I think you've made a very good point. Let's talk about the fragrance of learning. I really liked that combination of words. Give us a little bit of education on that.
Well, as I mentioned before, there are different ways of learning. There's people who need to see somebody, for instance, if they're going to, you know, do a recipe in the kitchen, they need to see somebody crack the eggs and turn the pan on and see how hot it gets and really just have that visceral sense of how something's done before they're able to do it. There are other people who need to hear and read the directions. They can't look at somebody and figure it out. They need to look at the directions and figure it out in their own heads how to do things. And then there's other people who want to see, you know, they might not want to see pictures, or they might want to see an image of how that goes, or, you know, do it themselves. And there are different senses we use when we learn. We generally, well-rounded people, use all of them, but most of us have one that is a favorite. My son, I asked him how it was. I was just curious what his strengths were, and I asked him how it was when he had an ear tube put in at the hospital, and he told me that he heard the doctor talking, and he listened to Tom Chapin on the tape, and the tube went in his ear, and it was really loud, and it was clear that all of his information came through his ears. That was his first piece. And my daughter, on the other hand, was talking about riding on a bus, and it was bouncy, and they went on a trampoline, and they jumped up and down, and, you know, she responds in her body. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple pieces. There's a piece of knowing for yourself. If you talk about some idea lighting you up, you're probably very visual. If somebody's deaf to an idea, you're probably very verbal. But you can, and in the book I talk about ways that you can expand your ability to learn in other ways. You can expand your visual ability, or you can expand how you hear things, or the fragrance of life. You know, so I smell a rat, or, you know, let's get out of here, this place stinks. People are very sensual, and it's wonderful to watch that and experience it in yourself and in others.
I enjoy some of the exercises that you have in here, and I chuckled when I saw that some of your brain allies, of course, games like Scrabble, Monopoly, there's just so many different games out there that you can play with, but one that's fairly recent is Sudoku, at least in America, and I've got a girlfriend that they drive her crazy, but she does them deliberately, and I just get such a kick out of her.
Yeah.
And we're all different. We all need different things as stimulus. I am a person, I read 400 to 600 books a year. That's part of what I do with the show, and I love it, and there's all kinds of material and subject matter. It would drive her nuts.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do Sudoku.
Right.
It's fun. And there's nothing wrong with any of it. It's exploring and find out what we enjoy. We don't have to do it to get somebody else's approval.
No, you do it for yourself. I mean, that was the piece about the boosters, is there's so many in the book that you would be overloaded doing them, and some of them wouldn't fit for you. So there's a piece about finding which ones sing to you, which ones ring a bell, which ones, you know, light up your life. And there's the other piece about pushing yourself a little bit. And again, we were talking before about feeling stupid. You know, it's worth it to try. The crossword editor of the New York Times, whose name escapes me at the moment, but he said, you know, when you do a crossword puzzle, use a dictionary. Make it fun. You know, you're not testing yourself. You're stretching your brain. And so even ones that feel a little bit like, yeah, I'm not so sure I can do that, it makes sense to figure out a way to stretch your sense of who you are and what your brain does.
Yes, and if you have someone around you that says, well, and they stick their nose up in the air and say, well, you're using a dictionary, just say, yeah, let me tell you what I can teach you.
Right.
And then you go get them the most difficult crossword puzzle in the world.
I use a dictionary. I do the best I can with a crossword puzzle, and then, you know, if I can't get a word, it's like, you know, you sometimes do a crossword puzzle with other people. They provide answers. So, you know, when you're alone, it's, you know, getting an answer here and there to help you solve the rest of it.
And not only that, but it also refreshes the brain, because dependent on your environment, you may not use certain words in a vocabulary that you had been aware of because the people around you, your environment isn't conducive to that. So when you do something like that that stretches you, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And maybe it'll trigger a memory, or maybe
yep.
it'll trigger an interest in something else. Maybe it'll trigger you to take a class or become a part of a reading group or explore something you never had a chance to explore before.
Now, I haven't heard this research confirmed, but I have a feeling that crossword puzzles use more of your brain than Sudoku, because you have words and the logic of letters,
mm-hmm.
And associations, and sometimes the clues are tricky because you think it's a noun and it turns out to be a verb. So you're really pulling a lot of information that you have, and language speaks to a lot of your brain.
Yes, it does. And it is so significant. And in our world today, where people are abbreviating because of texting and various things, they're losing touch with a lot of the communication skills. And this is a nice way to keep things flowing and going.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's great. One of the points that you bring out, and I mentioned it right at the beginning with the doctor that did your introduction about stress and the stressed brain. People
we live in an overloaded world, don't we?
Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, you just feel like your brain's mush. And you go, oh, my goodness, I have heard this said. I've even said it myself. Well, I guess it's just because I'm getting older. My brain feels like dried up fudge. And it's not that at all. You take a nap, or you go and you just not do things. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I really feel good. Maybe it's a walk around the block or something, or exercising. But you need to make it okay that you don't have to be going 10,000 miles an hour all the time.
Yep. And we identify so much with the conscious mind. I mean, people who meditate talk about that so much. But I think in society, we're constantly wanting to think and come up with new ideas or respond to somebody's Twitter or, you know, answer somebody's blog or an email. And there's so much more to our lives and bodies and brains that support that conscious mind. You were talking about the body, you know, the body-mind connection. And you're talking about even just knitting and feeling the yarn in your fingers or certainly moving, which is great for the brain. And then there's the piece about meditating and watching your mind try to think and go crazy. And there's another piece that's supporting who you are that's beyond your thoughts. And it's important
Absolutely.
To tap into those things.
I think so. You also have a very good commentary on meditation, and that it doesn't have to be long. It can be just a couple of minutes, but once you learn how to do it, it's very comforting, and you can do it anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yep. What I've
and
started
I think that's
myself,
fabulous.
What I've started, I don't know, people often hear in meditation that you should count your breaths to 10 and then start over. Well, I was going so haywire, I said, I can't do that. So I started counting my breaths to 3. And I found that just doing that, you know, once and then twice and then 3 and then 4 times, you know, I was ending up meditating back again for 15, 20 minutes from just focusing on 3 breaths or 1 breath at a time. Meditation to me is like, it's keeping your mind in shape, it's keeping your brain in shape, and you can no longer stop doing that than you can expect to win a race if you don't get out there and run.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Also, you cover nutrition, and this is so important, and I can't emphasize the importance of this enough. Brains, quote, brains adore vitamins. And I had Jack LaLanne as a guest during the month of December. This is a man who is going on 95 years of age and is just as bright, sassy, and as alert as he was when he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
And this is a man who firmly believes in good nutrition, but he believes in supplementation. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference. You also make a comment about a number of different factors with the vitamins and minerals that are so important and dealing with, you know, the vegetables. And all of us have heard from, you know, parents, eat your veggies, you're going to be big and strong. Well, it's true, but there is an aspect, and maybe you can assist with this. Everybody's body is different. What would you recommend in the way of for a person to be able to determine what is best for them? Some people can take excessive amounts of vitamin B complex, like myself, and just thrive on it. Somebody else would get sick on it. How do you determine what's right for you?
Well, you know, I think that for that kind of piece, it's helpful to do two things. It's helpful to pay attention to your own body and go at a pace where when you start something new, you do one thing at a time. You see what your reaction is. I know people who are like, go to the store and stock up on new vitamins and don't have a sense of what they're reacting to. So that's one piece, because your body gives you the best information. And there are wonderful doctors and nutritionists and nurse practitioners out there who can also lend their advice in terms of, you know, knowing you and knowing your history and you know, using your community to create a sense of what's going to work for your body. So those are the key pieces. I do think that when you're mentioning minerals, I think those are really coming to the fore in terms of how important they are. And that's something that it's important to address in terms
I
of
agree.
How your body. Yes. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, Sandra Kornblatt's book, A Better Brain at Any Age, if you're 20 feeling burned out, if you're 85 and saying, is there hope for me? I want to say absolutely. Susan's book has a lot of very, very good comments in it, and she's a gal that has found that it's not only improved her own life, but it's making the opportunity for the rest of us to know that we're not going to be brain dead. We don't have to be unless
nope.
we choose to be. So her book, A Better Brain at Any Age, it's the holistic way to improve your memory, reduce stress, and sharpen your wits. And that's always a good thing to do. Sandra, what's your website that people can go to quickly?
www.restfulinsomnia.com.
Restfulinsomnia.com. Go there and you will find out more information about Susan and her book. Or Sandra.
Right.
Sandra and her book. Sandra, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to talk to you.
Well, it's been a joy. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. A Better Brain at Any Age? Get the book. I think you'll enjoy it. In fact, I know you'll enjoy it. Lots of fun exercises inside. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com. Or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to have a little bit of intuitive insight in your life today, give me a buzz at these two numbers, 877-8765-227. That's 877-8765-227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to do is call in, give me your first name, your initial, and, of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, I will give you my perceptions, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you would like to discuss with me. So, again, 877-876-5227. Remember, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And Canadian, as well as U.S., 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know who we are going to have on the air tomorrow. We've got a very fine young man, Chet McDonald. And the title of the book is All He Needs for Heaven. Chet is a fascinating man. He's had some incredible experiences, and you'll need to tune in tomorrow to find out about it. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Jessica Baben, and we're going to be talking about psychic surgery and faith healing. And this is a very controversial topic and subject matter for so many people. I've been involved in the work of mine for well over 40 years, and I have had my own personal experiences, and I've talked with people from around the world that have had specific experiences of their own. So I think you'll find Jessica quite interesting to listen to. So that's what we have for this week, and tell your friends and let them know so that they can tune in as well. And by the way, quickly I want to mention the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles. While I'll be there, I'm going to be at booth number 537. Of course, this is at the LAX Hilton, and we will be giving you information about the hours, etc., and I am going to be speaking Friday night, possibly Saturday night as well. So as we get closer and closer, I'll give you more and more details. But anyway, do go to their website, consciouslifeexpo.com, so you can find out more information about whatever is going to be offered by them for specials, etc. Life is amazing, and so many times the most curious events will occur. And in 2007, there was a woman, Penny Harris, who happened to be on a beach in Devon, England, and she said she was surprised to find this little plastic duck. And she looked at it, and this duck really looked pretty sad. It was a little yellow duck. Well, as it turned out, she got curious, and she found that this was a duck. It was actually the first plastic duck from a cargo ship that went down that was supposed to have arrived in England, and that little duck that she held in her hand had traveled for 15 years around the world. This is such a, to me, an amazing story, because in January 1992, there was a horrific storm, and three containers were literally tossed off of a ship because of the waves that was going from Hong Kong to my home area, Tacoma, Washington. Now, one of these containers spilled its contents into the sea. The contents were 29,000 bathtub toys. That's a lot of toys for the bathtub. 29,000 of them. Now, two-thirds of these little plastic bodies bobbed off south through the tropics, landing many months later in Indonesia, Australia, and South America. 10,000 plastic ducks, turtles, frogs, and beavers went another direction. They went north, and they were found off the coast of Alaska, and then they started flowing back in another direction. They went westward. Now, some of the ducks apparently made their way south and were floating past Japan in 1995. A lot of them became trapped in the North Pacific Gyre. The giant clockwise spiral of water collects and gradually grinds the ocean's plastic debris. However, these little plucky ducks, they weren't going to be stopped. Eventually, they broke out of the water's grip and they moved on. They moved towards the Arctic, and some of them became trapped in the ice there. When they finally reached the North Atlantic in 2000, and in the summer of 2007, more than 15 years and nearly 17,000 miles, they had explored. They had traveled. Now, they called them flotillas of ducks. Can you imagine that in your mind, a flotilla of ducks coming towards you? They were bleached white by the sun, and they hit the coasts of Great Britain and North America. They actually were able to track them and the directions that they went, and it's just amazing to me. So if you find some odd little thing on a beach shore that looks a rather weather-worn, it may have a story behind it that you would never have imagined in a million years. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. All I need is your first name or your initial, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to mention to you, get yourself a pad of paper and a pen, because I have got a recipe for a German pancake. Oh, don't groan. I know we've come through the holidays, and we're all trying to get ourselves into shape and wiggle off those few pounds that we got on us because we had so many goodies. But I will tell you that this is a recipe a friend gave to me many years ago, and it comes out of the International Slim Gourmet Cookbook. And I actually was given this book as a gift, and I have used this recipe for so many years, and it is not high in calories. It is beautiful to serve, and you can do a lot of magical things with it. And it doesn't put a lot of inches on the hips. So get that pad of paper. It's really easy, too. But before I do that, I wanted to comment on giving blood. And the reason I want to talk about this for a minute is because it really is something that is very meaningful to me. I've had friends that have had accidents. One of them was a girlfriend who was hit broadsided when she was pregnant by a drunk driver. And it took, I don't know how many pints of blood. We thought we were going to lose her more than once. But because of people donating blood, including myself, she was able to survive and give birth to a very healthy baby girl. But this is something that we forget. And even though in technology they are working today to try to produce those components that can enable us to have a synthetic blood, they haven't quite gotten there yet. So blood transfusions, they are very important. Now, in the United States alone, there's over 14 million of these transfusions that are given. People like myself and like you go in, and every 8 weeks, maybe they donate their pint of blood. And do you know that it can save as many as 6 people's lives? And this is what I was told by one of the nurses that was there. One pint of blood usually is given, you know, it can serve 3 different people, but I've been told sometimes it can help as many as 6. Now, there are 32,000 units of blood that are used every day in the United States, and every 3 seconds someone needs blood. 1 teaspoon of blood can save a baby's life. And the average adult has 10 pints of blood in their body. You don't need to be as concerned today as people were a few years back about getting infected with some kind of a disease. You don't need to worry about that. The sanitation is really good. They're very, very careful. And you can make a donation every 56 days for whole blood and every 14 days for platelets. And blood shortages would be preventable if everyone or most people could give 2 to 4 times a year. 37% of our population in the United States can donate blood, but only 5% do. And a lot of people say they just never give a thought to it, and I was one of those for a few years. And a lot of people say they're too busy to donate. Well, I know our schedules are wild and wacky, but if you really want to do something, if you would really want to contribute in a valuable way, the donation of blood is very important. So call your local blood bank. Do take the time. You'll find the cookies are good afterwards, but more than that, you're going to know that someone's life somewhere is going to be affected in a very special way. And for me, I find it very satisfying and very rewarding. And I've been doing it for a few years now, and I really wish I had started earlier, but you start from where you are. But do give that some consideration. It really does make a difference. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. If you would like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, call 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and have that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to give you a recipe for a German pancake that you are going to be delighted to fix. Easy, 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 and good. I'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, let's go to our first telephone caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tucson, and my name is Lucille.
Hi, Lucille. This is interesting to me. You are feeling stuck. And when I'm looking at this, I would say to you that you're not stuck. You have decided that you're stuck. You are in the process of realizing that you can move out of this rather readily, but you are not sure that you really want to at this moment. Now, that may sound a little bit contradictory. It isn't. There are some issues with certain patternings of expectation and what you have done typically in the way you work with things. So for you to break the momentum, it's as if you are trying to stretch into new directions. And you are being challenged because you're not sure that you really want to make the stretch. All you need to know is that you're not going to go through any kind of harm if you make the stretch and just try to do it. Go ahead and do it. See what the result is. The worst thing that would happen is you'd find out, well, I don't like that. That didn't work. But what I'd like you to do, instead of making that kind of a fast judgment, take a positioning of asking yourself, what is it that I could have done differently? And you may need to have an exchange of conversation with someone to get their perspectives, just so that you can expand your own personal paradigms. And if you do that, then you're going to realize what your options are. If you don't do that, then you're going to find this feeling of being stuck continuing. But that's okay. I think that you are learning, you are growing, and you are expanding some of your boundaries more than you have, I'd say, in the last 7 to 8 months. This is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with this. And you don't need to worry. You're not going to crash and you're not going to burn. Do you have a question for me?
Oh, that's good to know. I'm not going to crash or burn, because I do worry about that.
No, we've always got a parachute somewhere.
I have to move. I have to move by April 1st,
mm-hmm.
And I've been looking, and I just, and talking and looking, and actually, I'd like to be out by March 1st.
Oh, I think you're going to be able to do that. I don't see that as being a problem. I think what you need to do is not make it an intense labor of discomfort.
Okay.
And explore some different areas. I would talk to different realtors. I would
peruse through different things. If you know the area, the general area that you would like to find yourself within, and I think that's a good way to start, maybe give yourself a 15 to 20 mile radius around that area. Let's say you had a job in Tucson. Well, what do you have, 15 or 20 miles? You know, just make a circle, get a map, and then just go and talk to some people that are familiar with rentals or homes, whatever you're in. Just toss it out. Go to as many as possible. You don't need to just limit yourself to one. And just say, I would like to know, what would you recommend? This is what I'm doing. I want to be in a new location by the 1st of March. And just put it out there. And it'll happen.
Okay.
It'll happen. In fact, I'm seeing three different choices. So you will have the opportunity to be selective, if you will. But don't put a limitation on yourself. You may find that maybe having an apartment for a while and saving money, some more money up if you wanted to get a home, and just say, well, I'm not going to put myself into a time deadline where I absolutely have to buy a house by XYZ date. That may not be necessary. It may be that you put stuff in storage, get yourself a nice little apartment, and you get what you want, and you just keep checking things out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you'll find what you want.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of three different choices. I'm looking everywhere, and that's what's scary. Because it's scary.
No. It's not scary. You don't go there, because you never know when someone's going to make a decision. It could happen tomorrow. The key is that you have as many eyes and ears and awareness out there that will be looking.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things will be found.
Yeah. It's also amazing what's out there, what makes your hair stand on end.
Well, again, look at where your head's going.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing, and I know what you're saying, but what I'm asking you to do is shift out of that.
Okay.
You're looking more at, oh, my goodness, what I don't want. You find if somebody shows you something, it's not what you want, say, oh, well, this is so sweet of you, but I had something else in mind, but thank you. And move on.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck there.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. You're precisely right. Yeah. I appreciate that insight. Thank you.
You are very welcome. You have a wonderful day.
And you too. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lucille.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. I promised you a recipe that is absolutely marvelous. I have, as I said, a very dear friend gave this to me many, many years ago. And Robert just loved to cook. But he was always attentive to his waistline, and he said, oh, I like good food, but I don't want food that's going to really add unnecessary calories. Well, Robert, like me, loved pancakes. And I was talking to him once about an apple pancake that I just had fond memories of from so many years ago. And, of course, if you ate this pancake, you could end up looking like it, you know, round, firm, and fully packed. But that's not what I wanted. And he said, oh, have I got a recipe for you? So here it is. This is the oven-baked, fat-free German pancake. And it's gorgeous when it comes out of the oven. You're going to need 3 eggs. Oh, a 9-inch pie pan. I recommend a heavy skillet to put this in the oven, because you're going to want to serve it at the table. 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of skim milk, 1/2 cup of skim milk, a pinch of salt, and 1/2 cup of instant blending flour. Now, I just take regular flour and sift it, and 1/2 cup of the flour sifted, and then it just blends beautifully when I'm whisking it together. Now, this is what you're going to need to do. You need to preheat your oven to 450 degrees. Yes, it needs to be that hot. You spray your pan well with a cooking spray, and then, and obviously it's for baking, you go and you beat your eggs well, then you put your milk and salt in, and then beat the flour until blended. Then all you do is pour it into a pan, bake it in the oven for 25 minutes, and remove and fill it. Now, this comes out just looking spectacular. It puffs up. It comes up. I mean, when you serve it at the table, people are just going to go, ooh, and you can double this recipe. Now, in the recipe book, it says it serves 6 people. Well, there's little tiny wedges of it. So if you want to have a real nice serving for 4 people, this recipe serves 2 people. Fabulously. And if you double it, you've got it for 4. It's great stuff. And you can use any kind of fillings with it, powdered sugar, fresh lemon,
squeezed over it. Yum. Really good. You can add cinnamon and some various spices that maybe really tickle your taste buds. Great stuff. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your brain is there working for you. Expand it. Know that your world is only as limited as you perceive it to be. There's so much more to be looked into and brought into your own life so you can expand your world in a wonderful, wonderful way. Life is for living, not just for existing. Donna Sebo here. Join me tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.